I want to talk on something today that's going to be maybe a little different. And you're going to start shaking your heads maybe when I get into it. But it's something, when you boil it down, it's basically dealing with our interaction with other people. How we think about other people. How we treat other people. But like I said, when I open up the subject, you're going to wonder. I was in a home that I clean. He was a lawyer. His wife and another partner owned a real estate, Remax First business, and I cleaned Clyde and Gigi's home. And Clyde and I was talking one morning, and he said something about a person that I knew. I knew this person. And they had called him and I guess give him some pretty rough stuff. And I said, well, I said, Clyde, I said, they're just a little bit strange. And he looked at me and he said, son, and he's older than me by several years. Him and his wife's got an age gap difference too. I was between him and her and age. And he goes, we're all just a little bit strange. Just a little bit strange. I want to preach on strange things today. And we're going to touch it all the way from basically A to Z. Strange means new, not before known, heard, or seen. It means odd, unusual, irregular, not according to the common way. All right, let's open up in Proverbs 21st chapter, Proverbs 21, where we'll start. 21 and 8 of the good book of Proverbs. It said, the way of man is forward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. For the way of man, there's a lot of strange things out there. There's a lot of things that you think you'll see and look at and consider that you've never seen, ever, and you'll go, that's strange, that's different, unusual. It's new to you, see? You've never seen it or heard it or maybe had anything to do with it and kind of look it over and wonder about it and think about it. But we can do the same thing with people. We can meet people we've never met. And our cultures are all different. We come from all different parts of the country. The Church of God is made up by a lot of different people that come from all different kind of places. And so consequently, we look at people sometimes and we go, they're strange. They're different. They're unusual. Kind of odd. But they're still the children of God. They're still our brothers and sisters if they're saved in the Lord. They're still somebody that you and I ought to look at and say, I want to be their friend. I want to know them. I want to get acquainted with them. I know of a situation right now. This happened many, many years ago. And this older sister... And then there was a newcomer come on the Myrtle campground. Like I said, this had been, I don't even remember what year it was, but it's been a good while back, probably 35, 40 years. And this newcomer come on, and this older sister, and they met, and the younger one seemed strange to the older one, and she was looking the situation over, and the Lord spoke to her and said, I want you to be her friend. It took her a while to do it. The younger one pushed her off, held her back. And the older one's thinking, Lord, help me here. What do I do? How do I be her friend? It was a strange situation, so to speak. But finally, the older one, in her love to the younger one, finally it broke down. And the younger one began to reach out to the older one. And the older one kept reaching out to the younger one. Till finally, there was a real connection made. And now then, they're great, great friends and sisters in the Lord. Have been for years. But the older one had to keep it up. You and I don't always become a friend of somebody just like that. Sometimes there's some things that have to be worked with and dealt with. Sometimes people, there's a certain person on Facebook that they write things and they do things that's strange to people. People shake their head. They make comments to me about it. My daughters and different ones. And they go, well, she just does some strange thing. Yeah, she does. Be honest about it. She does. But she's a soul. And that's what we got to look at. They're a soul. They've got a soul. They're God's creation. You just pray for them. You do a lot of praying for them this morning. But the Lord help us. These people that are out there, they're valuable to God. That God wants to get them to heaven. He wants you and I to help them to get to heaven. He wants you and I to do things for them and with them. That'll be a blessing to them. So consequently, they may be strange in a sense of the word. They may be a little odd, maybe a little unusual. Some of their ways are not like your ways and mine. But the bottom line was they was raised a certain way. They know certain things, and you and I was raised another thing, and when you put them two things together, you look at it and it's strange. I've been all over this country. I've traveled thousands and thousands and thousands upon thousands of miles. I've been in meetings everywhere. And I've run into some strange things. One thing that's helping me with this little lady right here, my mama was a southern gal. And some of the things she cooks and some of the things mama cooks, it just combines pretty good. I say, oh, this is strange, Molly. But it's not as strange as you might think. It's the way she's cooked for 35, 40 years, 50 years, whatever. As she was a girl and mama raised her up. But I was raised with a southern lady and she was a cook and so forth. And Molly does this and does that. I don't even count as strange. But some people say, that's kind of strange. I was down with Rebecca. We were down, we were courting, and I heard her and Eve Lou talking one morning, and they was talking about having fried chicken for breakfast. And I thought about it, and I thought, I've eaten fried chicken all my life, but never for breakfast. And so when Becky came out of the living room where her sister was laying there dying with cancer, I said, did I understand you right? What? You're going to serve fried chicken for breakfast to me in the morning? Yeah. Fried chicken for breakfast? Yeah. It's all right. So next morning, sure enough, I come in the kitchen. She's making biscuits and gravy and chicken and eggs. I don't remember just what all. The main thing was the chicken. So later, either that day or another day, we were traveling back from there. And I said, I want you to do me a favor, Rebecca. She said, what's that? I said, please don't tell anybody I ate fried chicken for breakfast. I don't want them to think I'm crazy. And about that time I said it, it hit me what I was saying. And folks, I started getting real humble. Rebecca started laughing. We got to the house. She jumped out of the van. She ran in the living room. Her and Eva Lou laughed till they cried. I saw that I was calling the Sorrow family crazy. Oh, today, anybody ever eating tomato gravy? Well, I went up north, Wisconsin, to do a funeral up there. Brother Dwayne Laveau's dad, John Laveau. We was in services there, and we was getting ready to come back home, and they've just, now we were staying with Rebecca's niece, Martha, Ron and Martha, Zachariah, staying with her and Ron, and she had done fixed us some lunch to go, and we were just going to leave and go on. Well, Brother Dwayne would see nothing but to have us over for Sunday lunch. All right, we'll go. And we went over there, and we got there, and they're having pancakes for Sunday lunch. Now, that's strange, folks. I've never had pancakes for Sunday lunch till then. And they've got all these things in little deals that you could dip out and put on pancakes. Now, this wasn't too odd in a way to me because I'd done run into it in Canada many years before that. And I was up there and sister making pancakes. She had jellies and jams and everything out there. And I looked the situation over. I said, you got to eat syrup? She said, no, we don't eat syrup on pancakes. That's strange, see? That's different. Oh, it's unusual. Never had that before. But anyway, what really struck me is down in one of the little serving bowls here in the middle of their big table was tomato gravy. They said, we're going to have tomato gravy over pancakes. See, it's unusual. Never done that. But I'm going to tell you, folks, you're going to run into a lot of things down through your life that's going to be strange to you. But I'm going to tell you, them people think it's A-OK and just fine. So Lord, help us. Lord, help us to look at the soul. Lord, help us. I've seen people do things in services. I've seen people write things in Facebook and different. Well, not so much, but I've heard about it. I don't do much with Facebook, but I've heard of what they've written and what they've done. I've heard about the different things, and I think, Lord, help us. There's souls right there. an evangelistic burden is souls. That's our burden. That's our calling. That's our livelihood, is to get people saved and get them to heaven. And when we see people do things that we feel a little bit odd, strange, unusual, that seems like it's pushing the people the other way. It grieves us deeply. It hurts Brother Marty and I and Brother Michael to see people that push things. It looks like they do things to push people back. Lord, help us to be loving, kind, gentle, and help me, Lord. I ain't perfect and don't claim to be. But the Lord wants you and I to reach out. He wants you and I. Wants you and I to be able to do. You get into traditions. Down in South Carolina, when I moved down there, they do something called pudding pot. They go and they kill a hog. They get all the meat that they want, and then they have the off-scourings of the meat, so to speak, everything that they don't want to put in the freezer and so forth. They get a big old pot, and they get water in it, put some seasoning in, they put all them parts in there. It's called pudding pot. Well, the first time I looked at that, a little strange. I thought the only ones that ever done it down there was the congregation that I worked with, which was American Indian, Native Americans. I found out it wasn't. I found out there's some white people down there in South Carolina, too, that do the same thing. I looked at the situation, I thought, But see, we just think this is a tradition of this group or that group, and it may not be. It may be bigger than what we first think. And yet we go, they're strange. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be loving and kind. All right, let's go to Hosea, the 8th chapter and the 8th verse, 8 and 8 of Hosea. He said, Israel is swallowed up. Now they shall be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim have hired lovers. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them. And they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princesses. Because Ephraim have made many altars to sin, and altars shall be unto him to sin. But I've written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifice of mine offerings and eat it. But the Lord accepted them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sin, and they shall return to Egypt. For Israel hath forgotten his maker, builded temples in Judah and multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Now then, they were doing exactly what they were told not to do. You shall have no other gods before thee. They've gotten involved into idolatry. And the Lord had warned them. He had sent prophets to them. He had done everything he could do to turn them, to warn them. I've written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. When you started, well, Let me put this in right here. One time another evangelist, I was in a meeting in a certain congregation many years ago, and there was a young lady coming. She was a granddaughter, if I remember right, of some of the congregation. And she come there, and she was just kind of wide-eyed and looked everything over and watched it. And that minister that was older than I was, and we had a great relationship, he said, Brother Carl, he said, I may be wrong, but I said, this thing is striking her as different. She'd never seen anything like it, never heard anything like it. It's getting her attention, so to speak. Well, it was. I would say probably the way we operated was strange to her. We didn't have the choirs, we didn't have this, we didn't have that. And she was just kind of taken back by the whole thing. I don't know where she's at or what she's doing. Don't know if she's dead or alive. But the bottom line was it caught her strange. I'm going to tell you, a lot of times we have people come in our services and look them all over and they think, this is different. Amen? This is different. This ain't normal. We don't have all these big people back here singing, and we don't have this and that and so forth. And they look at it and they don't quite know what to do with it. But I'm going to tell you there's victory and liberty and power and authority if they'll just turn loose, if they'll get saved, if they'll just get a vision by the bringing of the Spirit of God into their life. It'll do things for them nothing else will do. And they'll find out this ain't a strange way. This is a wonderful way. There's people out there in Babylon that they hear what we teach. They think that's strange. The Lord will deal with them the very same way. And they go, no, we don't want this. The Lord tried to deal with Israel in ways and tried to do, he done all kinds. He done, there was some of the greatest miracles that have ever been done in anything that's connected him with the Word of God. And you look at it and you think, how could they do what they done after what they saw? And they done it. They done it quickly. Made the golden calf. And they got all involved in all this stuff. And then he tried to wake them up. This is strange. This is strange. Your prophet over here, and this man over here, and this one over there trying to warn them. Well, it's strange what you're saying. No, it wasn't strange. It was the Word of God. It was the law of God. I'm going to tell you today, we can look at things and we might think it's a little bit strange, but it's just the hand of God. God don't work the same way all the time. You can't put him in a box. God is not, he's too big. You can't box him. You can't put him in a box. The Bible said there in one place, it said the Word of the Lord is not bound. You can't bind up the Word of God. About the time you think you've got some corner, it'll pop out here. He'll have a scripture here and over there and over there. He's dealing with souls and trying to get people's attention. Can't put him in a box. God is a God that holds everything. You don't box him up, you let him work. It seemed like a strange thing to them. All right, let's go to Isaiah 28:21. Isaiah 28:21. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. All right, let's go to Isaiah 55, and about the 8th verse, Isaiah 55 and 8. He said, well, let's go to the 6th verse. It said 55 and 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found and call you upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And he'll have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And then it said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So he says here, the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. His strange act. How many things can you name out of the Bible that you would call strange that God did? What'd be one of the first things? Remember back in Exodus when he sent hornets to rout? That's kind of strange, isn't it? A little new, different. A little unusual, odd. But God's got a way of doing things even down to the most minute point that if we'll listen and look and consider, it's used for a benefit to people. All right, what about the reduction of the troops back there in Judges 7 and 5 and 7 and 15 through 20, where that they had, 10,000, I believe, brought down, he wanted to do this, tell, well, if you're fearful and so forth, just, and so thousands of them left. Then got down, he said, well, there's still too many in his mind, said, you go down, you have them drink and so forth, and got down, I think, to 300, said, now then we can do it. That seems strange, doesn't it? What about the time when they break the lanterns and blow the trumpets? They had, I think, 300 men and put them in different spots around the camp and so forth. And he told him, he said, when I sound the trumpet or whatever, he said, you're going to break and you're going to say a certain thing and do a certain thing. And when they did, there was a great rout of the enemy. What about Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar turned into a beast. Remember that in Daniel 4:28? Now, who had ever thought? Seems strange, doesn't it? But what did it do? What happens when these things are done by the power of God? Men may look at them. All right, look at the time that, wasn't it Elijah? They brought all the prophets of Baal in and he told them to fill the ditches and so forth. And you cry to your God and they cried for so many hours and so forth. Then I think he said, will you fill this and you do this and so forth. And he said a simple little prayer and the fire of God come down. That seems strange. But what did it do? It got a king's attention. It turned him around. So no matter, we may pray for something, folks. We may beg and plead. And God may not do it just like we think it ought to be done. But if it'll work, it works. It may be strange in your eyes. It may look strange in the other. But you don't know how many people that God's working with that's looking on our life. And so quite we say, well, it's a little different, Lord, but whatever. Whatever you want to do, I'm going to tell you, when you give yourself to God and you put your life on that altar, you're saying, Lord, you take me and use me any way you want to. I don't care what you do. And when you do that, that opens the door for God to do anything He wants to do. And it may look strange. It may be odd and unusual. It may be different. But the bottom line is God's working for souls, folks, and He wants to get us all to heaven. So here He is. He's doing things a little bit different. But Nebuchadnezzar got himself straightened out. And he kind of got woke up after so long. And they break the lanterns and that worked out perfect. They had the reduction of troops, they still got the victory. And he sent the hornets and that made a rout. And people are going, it's kind of strange, it's kind of different. Listen folks, God's been doing strange things for years. You go back in the deal when he was bringing the Israel out of Egypt. Look at all those miracles. Look at the river of blood. And look at the different things. I can't remember just all of them, wasn't it? Frogs and locusts maybe and different things. And people look back and they just had to no doubt think this is strange. But it's God. If God wants to be strange, folks, He can be strange. And there ain't nothing we can do about it but just look at it. And it might just bring a smile to our face and say, who had ever thought to do it that way? Who had ever thought to bring about this or do that or so forth? Listen, folks, I've had God do things down through the years in answer to prayer. And I've looked at it and probably thought it was strange over and over. But when I analyzed it out as best as old boy could, I looked at it and said, that's a pretty good way to do it. Pretty good way to do it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. All right, let's go to the New Testament now. Let's go to Luke 5. Luke, the 5th chapter. Start reading the 18th verse, I believe it is. Hey, 5 and 18 of Luke. Said, behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy. With a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and could lay him before him. And when they could not find the way that they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, thought that was strange talk, so to speak, saying, who is this which speaketh blaspheme? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and he said unto them, why reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sin be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately arose before them, and took up that wage there whereupon he lay, and he departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. We've seen strange things today. Oh, Lord, help us. I'm thankful that God can do anything He wants to do to get people's attention. When Christ was here, He done things that was a little different. Never before done. When John came on the scene baptizing, when he done those things, started preaching and doing those things, people look back, they never seen anything like it. This is different. And then Jesus come on the scene, He humbled Himself to John. They really thought that was odd, different, strange. And then Christ began teaching of new doctrines and was totally opposite of what was taught under the old law. Under the old law was taught an eye for an eye. Jesus comes along and said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, love thy neighbor as thyself. This is the top two right here. Then He started forgiving sins. He started healing bodies. He started raising the dead. He started rebuking the Jews and the Pharisees and the scribes and done things on the Sabbath. He cast out spirit and people looking back. Remember the deal with the swine? Or a thousand of them or whatever, hundreds of the swine. And He cast the spirits out of that man and those spirits went in those swine. And those swine, the people sit back and whoa, they'd never seen anything like that neither. Strange, see? But Christ, bottom line, is souls. Don't ever forget that. If I can get that in your heart and mind today, that you look at every person as a soul that's eternity bound, a soul that's going out to a never-ending hell or a never-ending heaven, I want you and I to get that down in your mind. That things may look a little strange, but folks, if you'll get them to heaven, so be it. It don't matter how strange it is. The bottom line is He got them there. He knows where they were raised. He knows all about them. He knows their heart and their mind. And He knows just how to do things to get their attention. The night I got saved, I'd always wanted to be rich. Was setting my scope that away. A man come down named Brother Lloyd Eck. And Brother Larry, he worked for me 3 hours that night from 9 o'clock to midnight. He done everything he could do but drag me down on the floor and pin me down and make me pray. I'd been under conviction for months and I still wouldn't yield. He finally backed off, climbed in his car and left after midnight. I climbed in my car and went home and the Lord climbed in the seat next to me and He rode along too. He knew what my mindset was. He knew where my riches were in my mind. He knew how rich I wanted to be. And He said, let me tell you something. You can be ever so rich and I can take it away in a moment's time. Did that get my attention? That made me think? Yeah, it did. Listen, folks, He does things and it may be odd and strange and unusual, but He does things to get their attention. King Nebuchadnezzar, the people with the hornets, He does those things. He's after souls, folks. Jesus told me in a vision, I died for you, child. He died for you. He died for everyone in here and everybody in the world. But the bottom line was He done it because He wants to take us to heaven. Well, then He let me know. He said, even though you're young, you can go right out into eternity at any time. That got me to thinking. I want to tell you, husbands, something. Your wives are mortal. They can die in bed at night. They can be killed in a car wreck. They can drop dead. And when they're dead, folks. You can't resurrect them back up. If they would have, there's thousands of people bring their wives back from the dead, I guarantee you. And the same way, wives with your husband, you can't thank them enough. You can't touch them enough. You can't be with them enough. Because when they're gone, and you can't do anything with them then. So consequently, we're all mortal. We're all very much mortal. Lord, help us. Oh, the way Jesus healed people sometimes. Now, sometimes He just touched them. What's another way He done, though? Remember about the healing of the eye, that one? He reached down, made some spittle, and put it on their eyes and healed them. One time He done it in two different steps. Now people looking on, that's strange. But Christ has got a reason for what he does. Said, your thoughts are not my thoughts and your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord. My ways are higher than your ways. His wisdom is so far beyond mankind. What Rush Limbaugh likes to say, I tie half my brain between my back just to give you all a chance. Well, God ties nearly all of his behind his back, so to speak, to even give us a chance. He's got more wisdom and intellect and knowledge and power and authority than anybody. And he does what he does to get us to heaven. And it may look a little strange sometimes. And it may be. I mean, you look at some of these things a little bit different. But it got people help. It got them to thinking. It got them to considering. All right, let's go to 1 Peter 4 and 3. 1 Peter 4 and 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, in lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. But who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Now, I don't know all of your lives, but some of you might have done some of these things in the third verse. I don't know. I'm not accusing. I'm just making a broad statement here. There is people out there that do these things. And there has been people out there that done those things that got saved and made an about face, so to speak. And then it said, and wherein they think it's strange. Now you think about it. When you drink and you just all of a sudden deadly stop and don't do it anymore, they're going to... You was addicted to cigarettes and you couldn't stop. And all of a sudden it was no more. You was addicted to lust with women and so forth or men. And all of a sudden you just stopped and started walking a straight line. There was one guy that got saved that was an alcoholic. This, if I remember right, this is a true story. I don't know that it was right among us, so to speak, but it was somebody that had gotten saved and he was an alcoholic. And the buddies kept saying, well, he'll come back. He's going to join back up with us. But one day went to two and two to three and 1 week and 2 weeks and months and years. And he didn't do it. He lived for God. He done what God wanted him to do. And then when he got down, and his old buddies that was left was falling to the graveside and he had died in the victory. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. He didn't change. He didn't come back. These things seem strange to people. But folks, these are the about face way to get people's attention that there is a power that is able to deliver people that nothing else will do. I've got a best buddy. Known Robert over 50 years. We're about 11, about 50, about 53, 54 years. Nearly all my life I've known him. And he's drank. He's been in bands. He's been a singer. He's write songs. Now then he's selling used cars. He told me, he said, well, I quit this and I quit that and I done this and I done that. But he said, the one thing I can't quit and that's smoking. But there is a higher power. There is a God that is able to deliver and able to do. But all they got to do is bow down on their knees and pray and God's able to deliver them, praise God. And when that happens, listen folks, it makes people look at you and go, what happened? That's what he wants. He wants people to go, what happened? Why are they doing what they're doing? Why are they praising God? Why are they going to church? Why are they shouting and rejoicing? Why are they doing these things? God wants people to see that there is a higher power that can do anything that needs to be done. Praise God. Sometimes we think, it's a little odd, a little strange, a little different. Yeah, it is. But I got news for you. It turns heads and it's done it over and over and over for years. Years and years. Moses working with Pharaoh, and he would go to him and just harden his heart. God would do another miracle, just harden his heart. It got worse and worse and worse. But finally, he was able to let him go. And they left. And there was a purge of death, or whatever you want to call it, the deal of death with all the, 1 or 2 years old. It left a lot of them people crying in their houses. But then when he thought about it, he thought, no, I can't do that. And Moses was way up the road, and here he come. And Moses saw him coming, and he thought, what am I going to do, Lord? What am I going to do? And he said, why don't you take your rod and put it out? And he opened up. That's one of the greatest miracles. He divided the waters. He dried the ground. He let all of Israel go through to the other side. And then here comes the great army. I'm going to get you. And God just drowned them all right there. Miracles, see. It got people's attention. It got people's attention. It's strange. How many people that when you got saved, they were thinking, oh, he's not going to stick it out. He's, you know, I've heard people say among us that when they got saved, they was going to try it for one day, or going to try to live it for one day. And that day went into two, and those twos went into weeks, months, and years. And then the time I showed up on the scene, they'd been saved a long time. They found out it could be done. The grace of God is able to help us. All right, let's go to Acts 17:19. Let's begin to finish up. Seen some strange things today. 17 of the good book of Acts. Let's see, I want the... Well, I guess we'll just read 19 and 20. Really, it starts at 16. Now when Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers and of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. Some said, what will this babbler say? And others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. They took him and they brought him to Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know thereof, therefore, what these things mean. We would know, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. They were having a good time, wasn't they? All right, let's go back to 1881. He says, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. Strange things. Now you think about it. When Brother Warner and them, different ministers begin to bring out, as the light begin to come, and they begin to preach and teach all the truth, people begin to say, truly, this is a strange doctrine. They had not really seen anything quite like it. Live above sin and not in sin. The second work of grace, being filled, that there is salvation and sanctification, not one work, but two definite, distinct works. And then their power by the Holy Ghost to help people to live what they hadn't been able to live before. Then they come out preaching unity of all believers. And then they showed up with modesty of dress, long and short hair. Then they started preaching divine healing, trust in God fully. And then something that really basically blew a lot of their minds was when the women started taking the pulpit and preaching the gospel. Let me ask you a question. Who was the first great woman in Europe that was a trailblazer for all the other ministers, sister ministers behind you? Can anybody tell me? Have you ever heard of William Booth, the man that started Salvation Army? His wife, I can't think of her name right now, but his wife was, they said, a powerful preacher. And she would go and hold meetings, and they would flock to those meetings by the hundreds, maybe 1,000 or 2. And she had a power. And they said over in that part of the world, she was a trailblazer for all the other preaching women behind her. Somebody had to do it. And people looked at, she got some opposition. She had some problems, so to speak. It wasn't easy, but God used her. And they look at it. This is strange, a woman in a pulpit preaching. But they said that woman could preach, and she was quite a lady. When they died, she died first, I believe it was. There was 30-something thousand people at her funeral. And then when he died, I believe there was between 40 and 50,000 at his funeral. The people in England loved them. They held them in extremely high esteem. But we look at things. There is, Brother Simmons said, I've heard him say this, that he would go to a place, I'm going to use Holly Hill as an example down in South Carolina, and he would go there, he'd say, boy, I'm the first one here to preach the truth of the Bible to them. Then he got to talking with them, and old Brother Darius Gibson beat him down there years before that. Or over here, over there, not just Holly Hill, but different places, Brother Sam, they, boy, I'm reaching out. I'm doing, the Lord is blessing me and leading me and guiding me. And then he found out some of the old reformers had already been there. Oh, today, strange things. They looked at it. They don't know what to do with it. There's a man, his name is Jack. I call him Jackson. And he's a shop foreman at the used car dealership that we clean a couple of times a week. And he wears long sleeve shirts all the time, year round, just like I do. And so somebody was questioning one day about these long sleeve shirts. And I happened to be standing there and I thought, I want to see what he says. He said, I want you to know something. He said, it can be ever so hot, but when I get a nice sweat going, a little breeze going, he said, it's mighty cool. Ain't bad at all. And then he turns to just like him. Pointed to me and brought me into the fiasco, so to speak. They look, they go, it's strange you're wearing long sleeves year round. I know it's good in the wintertime, in the summertime you ought to peel everything off. No! You do what God wants you to do. You dress modest as God would have you to dress. Oh, people didn't know what to think of it back then. They looked at it and they considered it. Like that young lady that minister said, Brother Carl, I know she's just totally, her mind's about blown. She didn't know what to think about all this. All right, let's go to Luke 5 and 26. We want to tie another kind of, well, I've been working on this the whole message. It's a little different than what I thought it'd go. And said they were all amazed and glorified God and filled with fear, saying, we've seen strange things today. I want you to keep the last part of that scripture in your mind the rest of your life. We've seen strange things today. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter and the 8th verse. 1 Peter 3 and 8. It said, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarize blessing, knowing that you're there unto call that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, do good, let him seek peace and sue it. Alright, then, let's go over to dear brother Paul in 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. And about the 19th verse, I believe, 1 Corinthians 9 and 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant unto all, that I may gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker thereof with you. Now, he's saying here back in Peter, he's saying, finally be all of one mind in unity, having compassion one of another. I want you to love his brethren. I want you to be pitiful. I want you to be courteous. We have a hurting world, folks. And we need those of us that can be pitiful, sympathetic, loving, humble, get out in their bucket, as Doug says. He says, get in their bucket with them and stay there and help them, those that are grieving. Get in there and be with them. I'm going to tell you, if you was in the panhandle of Florida when that hurricane come through and nearly wiped everything you had out, I've seen pictures of it. They're nothing but rubble everywhere. Wiped out buildings, wiped out homes, wiped out streets. It just tore everything up nearly in its path. When you got back there and looked at that, there'd probably be some tears. That was, according to what I read, that was a mom and pop community. They only allowed, they didn't allow any Walmarts. They didn't allow any of your big businesses to come in. This was all basically run by people. I don't think there's even a McDonald's there. I'm talking about Mexico Beach is where I'm talking about. And this was a real close-knit, loving, family-oriented, so to speak, group of people that when that thing wiped them out, there's nothing much left. Maybe they had these businesses for years and years. Maybe it had been handed down for generations to the children, the grands and the great-grand, and handed right on down, and now then, folks, there's nothing left. You'd be in shock, too. You'd say, why did God do this to me? Why did God treat me this way? I was cleaning for a couple, and I'd gone there on, I think, a Thursday, and cleaned the house because the children and the grandchildren was coming in that weekend to spend time with mom and dad and the grandparents, so to speak. And while they were there on Sunday lunch, I believe it was, the father began to choke. Well, I got that cleared out. He tried to eat some more and it happened again. Well, they took him to the hospital. Thought, what's going on? They began to x-ray, MRI, I don't know what, CAT scans. Anyway, they checked him out, and what happened, he had a cancer like a rope that had wrapped around his esophagus, and it was literally squeezing it to death. I mean, it just squeezing it down. They said, there's nothing we can do. He died shortly after that. And I went back, I don't know, a time or two or three to clean for her, and then finally, I don't know, she dismissed me. But one day she goes, I'm angry with God! And I looked at her and I said, what are you upset about? He took my husband! Well, I sure didn't understand it back then, but I understand it now. I can see why people would get angry with God. I can see why they'd be hurt. But the bottom line is what they don't see at the beginning anyway is God's in this and He's trying to get them some help. He's trying to work with them. I don't understand why He took Rebecca, why He took Brother Stanley, why He took Brother Leslie. I don't understand all that. Some of them is old. Brother Stanley wasn't that old. But Brother Leslie was up in years. But the bottom line, He left some hurting people behind. And there's anger and grief, folks, and some people dwell in it a lot. I didn't. And the day I did, got down the end day, let me deal with it for about 8 hours. And then at about the end of the day, He said, Child, He said, but don't be angry with your wife. What I was upset about is because I had begged Becky for years to lose weight. And she would lose some and put it back on, lose it and put it back on. She went yo-yoing for, well, some, off and on. And I asked my baby daughter, I said, why did my wife's heart get to racing? She said, I tell you what I think it is, Dad. She said it was the high blood pressure caused by the weight gain that after a long time it just kicked it in. So I said something to another medical person that was involved in the situation. They said it could have contributed to it, yes. And I was angry about that. I thought if you would have listened to me, I'd still have you. And I run through that in my mind for hours. And the Lord spoke to me that evening. He said, child, don't be angry with Rebecca. I could have healed her if I'd have wanted to. I could have done that. I'm going to tell you, people think it's strange. They look at some of these young people that are taken suddenly out into eternity. They think, why, God, why? It's strange that you take a young person. It's strange that you do this and you do that. But the bottom line is, He's got us here and we're supposed to step in and be as compassionate. And I didn't know I was going to get into any of this. As compassionate and loving and kind and gentle with them. No matter what their grief might be, no matter what their sins might be, no matter how deep they are. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. There are souls out there. Paul said, I do what I need to do outside of committing sin. I get in there and do as a Jew. I get in there and do as this one and that one. In other words, I do whatever I can do to get them to heaven within reason. He don't condemn them. He don't criticize them. He loves them. How do we do? If we think they're a little bit strange, do we try to straighten them out? Now, you shouldn't do that. And I asked that lady, I said, what are you angry about? I didn't reprove her. That I remember anyway. This has been a number of years ago. I don't think I did. I just kind of looked at her in horror the way she said it. I'm angry with God. I'm standing there going, I'm shook. I didn't know what to say. I said, why? Why are you upset? Because he took my husband. She loved him. He was gone. They were older. They wasn't nowhere near young people. They were older. But look at Brother Marty's first wife. 30 years old. Look at others. Some say, well, this just happened now. You can go back in the genealogy of the Church of God all the way back. There have been young people die. There have been children die. There have been young married couples die. All down through the years. But those of us that are left behind, having compassion one of another. Love his brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Get in there. Oh, and love them. Refrain his tongue from evil and his lip that they speak no guile. Oh, today it said, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Part of that being called that you should inherit a blessing is helping other people. So what are we doing? How are we doing? If I was to go behind you, Lord help us here. If I was to go behind you and all your friends and associations and so forth, and I asked them how you treated them, what would they tell me? Follow me around if you want to. Ask me, am I? Put your shoe on the other foot, Carl. What would they say? We've got a duty, folks, and that's souls. This, like I said, this is going a little bit deeper. Different maybe than I thought it was going to. I didn't know totally. But anyway. And I'll tell you this too. I had scriptures written down and notes. And then he began to deal with me and work with me to bring it here. And I couldn't find it. I looked and looked and looked and looked. And I couldn't find it. So we got to Brother Dan's last night. About 6 o'clock or so, and got some things in the house, and I said, well, I got to go pray. And I got out on my knees, and I started praying. I said, Lord, if you want this message, I've either got to go back and redo the whole thing, so to speak, or you got to help me know where it's at. And he showed me exactly where it was. And I opened up my Bible, and there it was right in there, right under my nose, and I'd never looked there. I thought, okay, thank you. So I went out and told Molly, I said, Lord, show me where it's at. He did good. How are we treating people? Do we think they're strange, odd, and unusual? I was in a congregation one time a number of years ago, and this is in the South. South is known for their love and their hospitality. But we walked in, and I put my briefcase down. Usually I put my briefcase where I want to sit. Kind of mark my spot, so to speak. And lo and behold, another preacher come right along and moved it and put it totally another spot. The same meeting, but a different person done the same thing again. Another person come in, he done the very same thing. He just moved my briefcase. He didn't want me sitting there. I was getting in his seat. Well, I think that's strange. Did I fall out with him? No. I loved him till they died. Both of them are dead now. But we can look at things and we think, this is strange and I don't like you doing that. Well, I wasn't too happy about it, I admit, but didn't fall out with them. Be pitiful, be courteous, love his brethren, help one another, but the world is hurting. The world is out there that's lost and headed to a devil's hell, and it's your and I's business to try to help them. Get in their bucket, talk to them, pray for them, and do everything you can do within reason to help them. That's what Paul was saying. I want to help them. I want to get them to heaven. Well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be. Not everybody really can be preachers. You know, I think one time he said, I wish they were all prophets. Oh, Lord, help us. Let's finish up in Hebrews 11th chapter. We'll be through. Talking about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, 11 and 8, said he's called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance of faith. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He never did get the land of Canaan. He was buried there. Listen, folks, today we live in a strange country right here. This is not our home. This is just a preparation place for that home. This is strange. You're going to run into strange things all of your life. You're going to see things that's going to be new to you, not before known, heard, or seen. Have you ever made the statement, well, I thought I'd seen everything till now? Well, as you get older, and after you go through all these different things, I've seen a lot of stuff, then every once in a while I run into one make me scratch my head. It's different, see? It's odd, it's unusual, irregular, not according to the common way. You run into a lot of strange things. But folks, I want to beg you. I want to plead you with all of my heart this morning. Live for God. Determined to make heaven your home. And don't allow strange things to throw you off course. Or get you out of the way. And then do everything you can for souls to get them to heaven. Even if they are strange. Like I said, that older woman and that younger woman. This one over here, it was quite an ordeal. But finally, there was a friendship and a sistership that is deep and running well today. But it took quite a bit to get it together. But the Lord said, I want you to be your friend. I want you to love her. I want you to do things for her. And I tell you, she's bent over backwards doing it. But it's worked. It's worked. And I guarantee you this and over here that was resisting for a while. And you may run into that. They may be doing some strange things and resisting you and holding you back. You're doing everything you can do, but don't quit. Said, be not weary in well-doing. Keep doing it. They got a soul. They got a soul, folks. And that soul is headed to eternity. And Lord, help us. We are workers with God and Christ to do everything we can do. That's the way you build a congregation. That's the way you get people to meeting, to camp meeting, to assembly meetings, to revival meetings, is build a relationship and get them there and be a blessing to them. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayer this morning. Pray for me.